Has a werewolf ever mooned you? It's happened to me a time or two. You never see it coming, when it happens, better start running. And yes, in your pants, there's some poo.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Not Your Normal Books. My name is Callan. How are you guys doing today? I myself am exhausted. It's Saturday night. Need to go to bed soon. I have to wake up at 4:30 in the morning to go into work. And I will say, come on. In the past 24 hours, I have worked almost 17 hours and got roughly 4 hours of sleep. So I am exhausted. I'm trying to remember the last time I had a day off, and that was, I think it was about 3 weeks ago. So I'm a little foggy on everything right now. And I'm not saying this just so then, like, you guys take pity on me or whatnot. No, I'm just saying that I'm going to be saying probably a lot of things very wrong today because I'm so exhausted. I'm hoping that in the next week or two, I can get a full weekend off. I could have had a full weekend off this weekend, but I volunteered to help out some friends at work with, in the department that they work in. So, yeah. So I'm going to try to keep this, this episode as on I'm going to try to get through this book. I am. We'll see how that goes. All right, so is there anything else going on that I need to let you know beforehand? And no, I don't think there is. All right. So that leads us straight into our book. So the book that we have this week is Jump Through Fire by Crystal Ash. Our characters in this are Melody, Hunter, Connor, Razvan, Rue, Rena, and Arjun. I should have looked that up. I'll do that probably for next week's episode, because it's not happening this week. Should have done that. I didn't. Okay, so we start out with Melody having another dream of the shifter that's stuck in the cage, and this time it takes a very bloody turn when she dreams that the shifter, during one of the performances that they're in, they go for the ringmaster's throat and kills the ringmaster, and you see the shifter just very happy and thrilled because this is the first time he's actually tasted like blood and like actually done a hunt and kill in years. And this is going on while the tranquilizers darts that are hitting him take effect. Now, Melody, this really upsets Melody to the point where she throws up. So she's just able to get to the bathroom. And she still has those images just running through her mind. And Connor makes a joke that he's just like, please tell me you're not pregnant. And she kind of like flips him off, but she goes on and tells the guys about the dream or vision that she just had about the shifter. And these are coming more and more frequent. And so she's thinking, you know, we've got to be close to where he is or where they are. And things are still very tense, Hunter is still not talking to anyone but his kids during this entire drive, and everyone is just glaring at Hunter, but the kids don't notice anything. Now, Raz and Melody, they're driving in Raz's truck while the rest of them are in the RV. And while they're driving, Raz asks Melody about her family. And if they're, and they're just like, we're gonna kind of pass where you grew up, right? She's just like, yeah. And she said that she hadn't she hasn't talked to them or anything since she left. And she decides, you know, we're gonna make a quick detour. So while they're making this detour, Connor goes to Hunter, is sitting next to Hunter, and be just like, Hunter, what the fuck is going on with you? Like, seriously. And you know, it takes a little bit before Hunter finally like comes out and tells him what's been going on. And he's just like, you see Hunter like kind of like struggling to say this out loud, and he tells Connor that he has feelings for another person. And Connor takes this to he met a female wolf shifter, and like he's just ready to beat the shit out of Hunter. And Hunter's like, no. I love Melody, but I also have feelings for Razvan. And he's just, and this is, he tells him, you know, it's very confusing for me. I've never felt this way towards another man before. And he's like getting this all off of his chest. And Connor's just like, you know, I get it. I get that you're taking this time to figure this out. But the thing is, you are icing out two people who care for you. And, you know, it's hurting them thinking that they did something wrong, or you don't want them anymore. It like, and Hunter gets where Connor's coming from with that. And he's just like, you have to talk to them, or at least Melody. And so they ended up stopping for gas, and this is when they hear that they're going to make a pit stop at Melody's old house. And Hunter goes over to Melody and tells them what's going on. And you know, Melody is just like fine with this. She tells him that if he wants to do anything with Raz, or both her and Raz, she is 100% on board with that. So they finally get to where Melody grew up, and her, and when they go and they knock on the door, because Melody feels like she doesn't live there anymore, so she can't just walk in. When the doors open, they see Jeannie. And there's only one of the guys that goes with her, and that is Hunter. Hunter is the less scary of the men. Well, no. So right now, Connor does not have, I'm just gonna say it. Connor right now doesn't have any legs. He is basically wheelchair bound until they can get to Georgia. And then Raz is covered in tattoos, and he can come off a little scary. And so they're just like, Hunter would be the best person to go with you. So Jeannie's the one that answers the door, and she's 15. Now, I didn't say this, but once they first start to see kind of where she grew up, all the guys are pissed because Melody has talked very little about her home life, and they're seeing firsthand where and how she grew up, and they're not pissed at her, they're pissed for her. So when Janie answers the door, Janie is around 15, and Melody's just like, "Why aren't you in school?" She goes, "Someone has to take care of the house, and I can't, and it's got to be me since you left." And so they, she asks Jeannie, "Is there anything I can do? Any, like, as soon as I get some money, I can send it to you guys. Here's a phone number." She gives her Connor's phone number. Be like, "If you need anything at all, call this number." And you know, Melody wants to leave before her, before their mom wakes up, but before they can leave, her mom does wake up, and they get into this no holds bar argument to where they're just screaming at each other. Melody's mom is basically saying that she needs to come back home, that she needs to take care, that she's an ungrateful child, while Melody's yelling, "You're not a mother at all." Like, you and just, they're both saying these so hurtful things to each other. Now, does Melody deserve what's being yelled at her? No. Does her mother? I'm gonna go with yes on this. Her mother 100% deserves what Melody is yelling at her, because you can see, just, you know, with the way that Melody has described her home life, and then seeing where she grew up, and just kind of with all of that, yeah, her mom was never the greatest at anything. And okay, I'm gonna stop there before I say something that I can't take back. Hunter has to hold himself back from hitting Melody's mom, picks up Melody, and leaves. And so Melody is just screaming, and the way that she's screaming, it's like pure agony. So the guy is real. I think it's Hunter that realizes that, you know, she kept a lot of what she went through inside, and she never let this hurt and anger out, and it's finally coming out, but it's in a way to where she can't even control it at this point. She finally gets calmed down, and she just tells the guys, "I don't ever want to talk about it again," and they respect that. And they're continuing their journey, and Melody ends up talking to the shifter, and they think that she had abandoned them, and they tell her that their name is Arjun. Now, how you spell this is Arjun. And it's probably pronounced very, very differently from how I'm pronouncing this. And I'm sorry for that. I will look up the correct one later. I should have done this beforehand, but I didn't. Okay, so he is a Bengal tiger, and he might be the last of his kind. And really, he has no idea how much longer he has to live, he will be alive for. Now, Melody kind of tells, doesn't kind of, but she tells Raz about what she's learned about the shifter. And it turns out that, okay, so something that they call him is RJ, so that's what I'm gonna do. So something that we learn is that Raz actually knows RJ, and that they were actually sent to a carnival together where they were forced to perform. And a couple of years ago, they were rescued by Nigel. And he was the owner of the carnival that they were previously working at. And so Raz went on to work for Nigel while RJ left to go and find, I might have been freedom or any other family, but RJ did not want to work in another carnival. So after they talked to everyone, Raz and Melody, they decide they're going to be the ones that are going to infiltrate this carnival. So when they get there, they see that this carnival is so run down. It is, so the first, it's worse than the first carnival that, or somewhat on the same level as the first carnival that Melody worked at. It's a carnival that she met Connor at. And so they're there and they go into this carnival where while Connor, Hunter, and the kids go just continue their way on to Georgia. And when so Melody and Raz, they find the person that's in charge, and Melody just like, well, I do some burlesque along with being a ring mistress. Now we learn that in different carnivals, a burlesque dancer means different things. So it could just mean you are a burlesque dancer, which is which I think we all know what burlesque is at this point. And then sometimes at different carnivals, it all depends on who's running it. A burlesque dancer could also mean something like a sex worker. So Raz tells him that, oh, he's a sword swallower and fire breather. So they're walking it. So they've got a little while until they go in for their audition, and they're just kind of walking around trying to find basically where RJ is. And they seem to be getting closer to where the animals are, but they are stopped by a worker. And this guy basically tells him that the tiger's going to be killed today. So on the fly, they come up with this plan. So Melody is going to do her ring mistress set performance thing, and I don't know if she's gonna throw some burlesque in there or not. I don't remember that because they didn't really in the book, they didn't really focus so much on Melody as they did on Raz's part. Now, Raz's part of this plan is that he is going to be the one to go and get the tiger, and then they're going to hightail it out of there. And this goes as much to plan as fucking possible. Except for RJ goes on a little bit of a killing spree, but it's mostly only the men that abused him. They're finally able to get him into the truck. They cover him with a tarp. They drive the half hour to where Connor and Hunter are, and once they get there, they realize they have a small problem. They can't get RJ to shift back into human, and I guess I should say human form. And I think it's either Hunter or Raz or both of them are just like, he has been in animal form for so long that, you know, he might connect more as being an animal than with a human. We just need to remind him basically of human things that he can do that he can't do as a tiger. But when they first pull up to this house, it is this beautiful 6-bedroom home that is like in the way back of like the property that they all own or that the nonprofit owns, and they've got this huge yard, and the They even ask, like, Connor even asks how much it's going to cost him to live there, and the doctor in charge is just like, absolutely nothing. It's all part of the nonprofit. So you're kind of, I bet you're wondering how Connor got into this nonprofit. And the answer is actually very simple. The doctor that is in charge of the nonprofit, Connor saved his life. In the explosion that he lost his legs in. That is the simplest answer I can give to that. So they finally are able to get RJ to shift back, and we find out that he is a British man whose mother is or was from India. So his name has, I'm going to say, has a India background for it, or it's a common name found in India. I don't know. I'm guessing at this point. And things are starting to go on as normal for the most part. Hunter still dances around his feelings for Raz, but that all comes to head when basically her three men start to all get intimate with her, and then she's just like, Hunter, just kiss Raz, and they do, and things are good, but they're a little awkward as well, because Raz has said that he's been with men before, where Hunter hasn't, and it's a different mindset from you think you're attracted to one gender, then you also find out you're attracted to another gender, and then you're actually attracted to both genders. It's very confusing. What we learn about RJ is that he's actually met other shamans before. His stepfather is a shaman, and he used to train he used to train shamans as well. And he RJ is just like, Melody is unlike any other shaman I've ever met before. She has powers that not every shaman gets. Now we learn that, and we might have learned this before in like the first or second book, that a person can be gifted with shaman powers as a child through trinkets, but those powers don't come out until they turn 18. And so Melody wants to see if, he can help her control or learn about her abilities and understand them. Melody lets the guys know that she's going to apply for a job at a carnival that's not too far from there, and if any of them want to go with her. And the kids are just like, I want to do it, I want to do it, but that's shot down really fast in there. And it the Hunter is trying to lessen this blow, be just like, you guys are kids, just be kids for right now, right? Like, I mean, I think for me, I think I was 12 when I got my first job. So I started out as a dog walker. And then when I was 13, I went from dog walker to babysitter. And then when I was 16, I got my first I got my first action. I got my first job where taxes had to be paid. So I worked at a fast food restaurant within a travel plaza, like on a turnpike, which is not as fun as one may think. Unfortunately, there are some very creepy guys that drive the turnpike and stop into those places. But these kids, I don't even think I don't even think either of them are 10 yet. But basically, Hunter, just like, you guys are kids, just enjoy your childhood. When you get older, you can get a job. And Raz is the one that agrees to go with her, but RJ is just like, you are fucking joking, right? And he's just like, you just saved me from a carnival. What are you gonna do? Go save more shifters? If you do that, it won't matter how many shifters you save, the money will just go to the next fucking ring master or mistress. And this really rubs Melody the wrong way. And RJ is starting to realize that Melody, at some things, she can be very sensitive to it. He jokes about her living under a rock because she says she's never had lamb curry before, and he says this in like a jokingly way, but Melody has always just been picked on about where she grew up, how she grew up, and all this. So being teased about it is never something that's happened to her before, and she doesn't realize that it's teasing. He just thinks that he's doing it in a just doing it to be an ass, basically. So Raz and Melody, they go to this audition, and it's in this huge theater, and Melody has never been in a place that was this big or grand before, so it gets her really nervous. And they go on, they do their audition, they see that they have the audience entranced, but at the end of their at the end of their act, they're just told, next, and we'll get a hold of you if you make it or if you get picked. And she's just like, oh, okay, so this is something that's never happened to her before, but Raz understands this. And so they're on their way back to the house, and Raz is even talking to Melody about RJ and how they could tell that she has a little bit of a crush on him, which she denies, even though there is some truth to it. Then they're sitting down for dinner, and Raz had made lamb curry. He goes, I didn't make it super spicy, it's just a little bit heat. Now, I've tried lamb curry before. I've had it once. I had it when I was in San Francisco, and let me and I've never had lamb before. I've never had curry before. It was so fucking good. Oh my God. I was eating it. I'm just like, what? It was so good. And it had some heat to it, but it wasn't really spicy. I'm personally not a fan of very spicy foods. I literally can't handle it. One of my coworkers is huge into likes all spicy and hot things. So he had jerky that was had like a the rub or the jerky was made with Carolina Reaper. So I took a very, very small amount, and I think I And this was like, it was smaller than a fingernail of the amount of jerky that I took. And I was just like, I know that you should not drink water, because water will just swirl all of that around. So it actually intensifies the heat. It does not get rid of the heat at all. But my mouth was on fire for a good while. But this lamb curry that I tried, amazing. Anywho, so they're just sitting down from dinner, and all of a sudden they hear a wolf howl, and the kids realize right away it's their uncle's Colt and Gabe. And these are Hunter's brothers and part of his pack. And that's where the book ends. So that's the end of book four. And this ends on such a cliffhanger because you're just like, what is going to happen? What, like, what is. The questions start coming. How did they find him? What are like, are they going to take Hunter away? Like, all these things are going through not only Melody's mind, but now Raz's mind as well. And like, I don't, it's a huge surprise to have them just come out of nowhere. And then, I mean, okay, so we've learned a couple different things. We learned that we have found a new shifter. We have found Ra or RJ, who is a Bengal tiger. We find that Connor gets new legs that are amazing. We learn that, Melody, we get to see a true aspect of how Melody grew up and just how horrible that was, and that her younger siblings are still living in that, and she can't do anything about that. And she can't do anything about it right now because they don't have. Because at the time that they go to the house, they don't have money and they don't have a place to live. There's and we start to learn a little bit more about Melody's shaman abilities as well, and everything that goes into that. So, yeah. Trying to think if there's anything else that we learn in this, and I don't think there is. I mean, this gives us a and we ended at such a cliffhanger that I know you guys are waiting to hear what's happening next week and everything else, but yeah, like I said, next week. So yeah, so I'm gonna end it here. If you guys want to follow me on social media, you can do that on Instagram at notyournormalbooks@gmail.com. Nope, sorry. Instagram at notyournormalbookspodcast. You can email me at notyournormalbooks@gmail.com. Any book suggestions, anything kind of how you guys' take on the book, if you're liking it so far. If you guys want any different type of genres, go ahead and let me know. Yeah, other than that, I've got nothing else for you guys. Oh, please, please, please rate, subscribe, and review. Every little bit helps other people find this podcast and it puts me in the charts. Yeah. So I'll see you guys all next week.